nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
Leonardo da Vinci said, "The Lord gives us everything at the price of effort." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who give the price of effort. Our first playmaker oversees real estate investments and land and cattle, among others, while our second playmaker has changed the landscape for automobile collision parts. With us today is the CEO of a company dating back to 1934, while our next playmaker is CEO of a company that has developed an innovative overnight parts logistics service. These great playmakers are Chris Kleiner. Chris is CEO of Hunt Consolidated Investments, and Nick Basanakis. He is CEO of Overall Parts Solutions, and we're going to begin today's show with Nick. Nick Basanakis is a CEO and co-founder of Overall Parts Solutions, a company specializing in supply chain technologies and services for the collision repair industry. Nick, with the help of childhood friend Sid Bajat, founded OPS in 1995 to help wholesale parts suppliers market their parts to collision repair facilities. In 2000, they created an innovative overnight parts logistics service, OPS Logistics, delivering parts to collision repair centers throughout the state of Texas, Louisiana, and Arizona. In 2005, OPS created the breakout parts management software, OPS Trax. Its success would eventually mold the company into a full-fledged software and solutions firm working with repair groups such as Service King, Caliber Collision, Herb's Paint and Body, and Gerber Collision and Glass. Nick, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you having me today.
Well, I'm glad you're here. You've been in the parts business for a while, and you started out in parts delivery. How did you get into auto parts delivery?
Well, me and, as you alluded earlier, a childhood friend that I grew up with, Sid Bajat, you know, we met when we were 11, 12 years old. We said we're going to go into business together, and we never said parts business or delivery. And so for us, getting in the automotive side of it, we had the opportunity to work with several dealers in the Dallas Metroplex as salespeople and came up with a business idea that how could we supply parts to body shops in a more efficient manner. And one day, Sib goes, "Well, what if we deliver the parts overnight?" And I said, "Sib, that's not a good idea." And I waited about a week and said, "Hey, let's deliver parts overnight, and they can have the parts when they get there." And that was kind of the inception of it. I wish I could tell you we had an extravagant business plan. But what we noticed was most dealerships or part suppliers delivered parts at 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, and the technicians were waiting on the parts. And so we said, well, what if they could get the parts when they get there in the morning, start on the jobs at 7 o'clock in the morning as opposed to 10 o'clock? And really, that's how it started. And we were fortunate enough to expand that out. We started in a parking lot here on 183, as a matter of fact, sorting the parts out, and then it took a life of its own.
You just kind of did it without thinking and went ahead and made it work.
Yeah, we were young, so we were ambitious and young, at least.
You can do things like that. Well, you said you were in sales at automobile dealerships. That's unusual for somebody in sales to be looking at what's going on in the back end, which is parts. How'd that all come together? How does Sib pull that together?
Well, basically, at the point, we were actually hired as salespeople to go out to body shops to
so you get weren't them. Selling the vehicles, you were selling,
we're selling the parts. Correct. And at that stage, we started looking at what body shops were doing because a lot of the parts and the pricing was very similar, and said, what value add could we bring to the marketplace? And so we really started asking body shops, well, if you're going to buy from these suppliers, what are your needs? You know, how can we be more efficient? And then that's really how it kind of took form from that stage.
Well, that was parts. And how did you move into collision and body parts? How did you make that transition?
Well, in, you know, most dealerships and parts suppliers, especially from the dealership level, every dealership you go to has a parts department, you know, by their franchise agreements. And most likely when they go to the wholesale market and they're looking to sell parts, collision parts are a big part of what they do. It's a high volume. So it was kind of the biggest opportunity that we saw in the marketplace and took advantage of it.
Well, your business is rather unique. You're not just a regular parts deliverer. You've put some things together, and I alluded to that when I was doing the introduction as far as some logistics and some software you put together. Talk about your business and how it stands out from the competition.
Well, realistically, we really made it up as we went along, and a big part of our opportunity was, you know, looking at the way parts were distributed and saying how can we bring value to not only the suppliers but to the end user, the collision shops. And so what we've done is really becoming the supply chain management part of the business, and managing that supply chain from when a body shop puts in an order all the way to when the supplier receives it, to the logistics of it, and tracking it in between. And so for us now, we've launched a technology platform 10 years ago that really enhanced the delivery part of it. So from the delivery standpoint, the technology standpoint, that was what really separated us in the marketplace. So we're multifaceted in terms of what we do in the supply chain, and there's just not we're a niche company. There's not very many companies that do what we do, and we're continuing to try to innovate ideas and you know, help our clients take their business to the next level.
We mentioned niche business. There was an article from Auto Body, a magazine that was sent to me, and it says that you're a niche business. No other company actually meshes all the parts distribution process together. And the quote was, "Our biggest competitor is change." What do you mean by that?
Well, if you look, when we got in this business, you know, close to 18 years ago when we started the business, you know, parts were being distributed the same way they were for the last 40 years, and parts were being ordered you know, the same way. And so to take you back to a decade ago, you know, over 90% of collision shops phoned or faxed orders in. And that's just 10 years ago when the internet was fully functional and people were doing things on the internet. Our industry was really slow to change from that standpoint. And that's how we came up with OPS Tracks, our technology solution, and saying, hey, well, let's find a better way to communicate to suppliers instead of being on the phone. And so to fast forward you 10 years, you know, 10 years later, 70% of our industry still phone and faxes orders. So change within our application, within our industry, has been slow, because the quality of work, and there has been a lot of really, you know, strong independent businesses out there, and it's really connecting the dots. So change is probably the biggest challenge, but ultimately the industry's changing, and you're starting to see collision companies, parts suppliers really adapting to change and accepting new concepts.
Well, even with all that, your business would not be successful without the right kind of people and good people. In the Dallas Business Journal, there are a couple of articles about what you have done for your people, and you have a number of perks, and you do a lot of things for them. Talk a little bit about what you do to make it more of a family. What are the things you do for your people that keeps them with you?
Well, I think the main thing, you know, it really starts from the beginning. You know, my father was a you know, definitely a big influence in my life. And one of the things he always told me was, from the time I was a little boy, even till he passed last year, was tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. And so one of the things that we did, and probably the key component, aside from perks and opportunities, was bringing the right people in with the work ethic, team concept. And the biggest thing that we've done, fortunately, was bring in people with good attitudes, with good intentions, with transparency, honesty, integrity, you know, and that kind of manifested itself. So that's probably the biggest thing that we've done as organizations, brought in really key people. And then with the ability to provide, you know, not only benefits, but opportunity. And opportunity meaning, hey, we have a blank canvas, you have a say-so, your work has meaning, and, you know, we're spending more time with one another at some stage than we do with our families in some portion. I think most Americans can relate to that. So let's make the best of it. And so it's really permeated to a family atmosphere. We do a lot of things like luncheons. We like to sit down together at the table as a company. Now, with the amount of people we do, sometimes it's a bit hard that we have. It's a bit harder, but, you know, sitting down and eating together like a family from a company standpoint, like you would see in a traditional family, and just providing, you know, input. We do everything from events, competitions, different things. We do, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, time off for graduations or things like that, that we don't, you know, if someone has a family event, we don't count it against their vacation, so to speak. We're giving perks like that to really encourage them to not only be part of the OPS family, but maintain their family life and quality as well.
Well, I saw a number of those in the article. One that really struck me was your summer children's internship program, because you're talking about family, and you were talking about the summer business camp for these kids to learn what their parents are doing. Talk about that and how well that's worked.
Well, that idea came about, I think Sib and I, you know, growing up together, Sib's came from Afghanistan in 1980. We formed a friendship, and we were fortunate enough, and we always say it even to this day, to have mentors and people around us that invested a lot, even though we grew up in modest conditions. And so we said, well, how do we give back? We would like our kids and our all of our team members, family members, especially the younger ones, to come in and do a summer camp. And we put together a summer camp for the kids to come in and basically work, put projects together, put teams together, and it culminates they show up on a Monday, and by Friday they have to do a presentation. The families come out, and it really brings everybody together. And two things: we're giving back to the younger generation, which we're firm believers in, because if it wasn't for coaches and teachers and even people in our neighborhoods, we wouldn't be in the position we are. So it's really worked out well, and you get to know the families and the kids. And now some of these kids are, 14, 15 years old, and they remember those things from when they did a presentation when they were 7 years old. And so it's been a big impact, not only on the kids, but us as well.
Well, at that young age, you're imprinting on them, and that, yes, that is a big part of their life. Well, the last 30 seconds or so, you are a playmaker. You've made some strides. You have a successful business. Why? And you mentioned attitude earlier, but in addition to that, why are you, your partner, and your company successful?
I would say passion. We have a passion to try to be the best we can be. We enjoy what we do, and we want to do something special. And granted, our business, we're not, it's not rocket science. We're not, coming up with a cure for cancer. But in the same token, we're trying to have impact on people's lives and our own lives. We want to be the best we can be, and that's kind of what drives us as an organization. So I would say the passion has really been a key component to really our success as an organization. And to see where we've come from to where we are today, I would say that's the key ingredient for us.
Well, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you on the internet.
On the internet, www.opstracks.com. Go to our website and definitely get any information that you need on our company. And again, appreciate you having us here today and fortunate to visit with you.
And Nick's phone number is also on the Playmakers Talk Show website. Nick, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Nick Vasanakis, he's CEO and co-founder of Overall Part Solutions. Don't go away. We have a guest that's going to talk about his business, which is a little bit different. His name is Chris Kleiner. He is CEO of Hunt Consolidated Investments. We're going to talk about that company, what he's doing, and find out more about it. Stay with us. Back right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk to the CEO of Hunt Consolidated Investments. His name is Chris Kleiner. Chris is CEO and president of Hunt Consolidated Investments and co-president of its holding company, Hunt Consolidated. He oversees the operations of Hunt Realty Investments, Hunt Investment Group, and Hoodoo Land and Cattle Company, as well as corporate finance. Other business interests of Hunt Consolidated include oil and gas exploration and production, petroleum refining, electric power generation, and transmission. Chris's affiliation with Hunt Consolidated began in 1996. Now, Chris received an MBA with a concentration in finance from Texas Christian University and a BBA in marketing from Southern Methodist University. Prior to joining Hunt, Chris was employed by Texas Commerce Bank, which is now J.P. Morgan Chase, and General Mills. In 2009, Chris and his wife Ashley founded Executives in Action. This is a nonprofit organization that leverages the talent and expertise of executives in transition with local charitable organizations to enhance the productivity, efficiency, and overall impact. Chris, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Steve, thanks for having me.
Well, you were involved with Hunt Consolidated for almost about 18 years. What experience or what kind of experience with banking and General Mills really prepared you for the role you have right now?
Well, I'm not sure anything would have prepared me perfectly for Hunt. I've got a pretty I feel like I've got the greatest job in the world with the diversity of things I get to work on. But I look back at General Mills in particular, and here I came out of high school, and I didn't really have any street smarts to speak of. But at my first job, I got sent to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the each regional market is different. And so you think of Dallas and think of all the chain grocery stores. And here's kind of a city kid, you know, kid. I grew up in St. Louis and other kind of big cities around the country before going to college. And I get sent to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this was probably the smallest place I'd ever lived. And in Tulsa, every store is independently owned. So every place you go, you're selling that store owner. Okay. And so the first thing you need to learn is how to build rapport with somebody that probably has very little in common with you. Right. And so what a great job for me, because the ability to have to develop that bond with somebody and convince them, in a fun way, in a harmless way, but you really try to sell some product to them when they could easily say, you know, I'm not interested. You know, it's one thing to have Cheerios on the shelf. It's another to have big displays and end caps and all that kind of stuff. But it's all about the relationship. And if they really don't like you or trust you, probably like anything, forget it. And so over time, having to build that was one of the best things to do, because life is about relationships.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, that probably taught you a tremendous amount about communication, sales, marketing, the whole gamut.
You learn fast. That's real world 101.
Well, let's talk about what you do. Most people that are listening have heard of Hunt Oil. Hunt's been around
80 years. December 18th, last week, we had our 80th anniversary.
Well, congratulations.
Birthday celebration. Yeah, it was great.
H.L. Hunt started the company back in 1934, but I believe he was involved in the oil business prior to that. Ray Hunt now runs the company. You're president of Hunt Consolidated Investments. And I mentioned a number of them at the beginning, but what is your focus? What does your group do? What are you attempting to do with Hunt Investments?
Well, so Hunt Consolidated Investments is really the non-energy arm of the company. And so if you think of an 80-year-old business, you know, over time, industries change, things evolve, and we've been fortunate with incredible leadership to be able to stay relevant and grow in the energy business. Over time, what we've tried to do is take some of the generated cash flow and really build other businesses to be diversified to withstand any economic period. And that's obviously worked. We've had plenty of cycles over the last 80 years. And my responsibility now is to really oversee our real estate activity, our alternative asset portfolio. We have the ranching business that you referenced earlier. And so, you know, going into the company, I didn't know much about real estate, or I was fortunate to know a little bit about some alternative investments, not a lot. You kind of learn on the fly. I certainly knew nothing about ranching, but, you know, those are the non-energy areas that I oversee today.
So Hunt Oil is bringing the money in.
Historically, and yeah. Now we're making some money in these groups.
And taking. So you're looking really anything. I read an article in the Dallas Business Journal. That's about 2007. You're now getting into more green companies than you
have
before.
So, you know, again, kind of times change and things evolve within the course of every business unit. And so at the time, we've made a shift actually out of private equity. When I was hired by Ray, and I'm very appreciative of the opportunity. That was 96. I joined a private equity group, and over time, the way that evolved, we had a kind of a middle market private equity group, and then we formed some other activities, and I was fortunate to oversee four other groups, and you know, we had some nice successes, we made some mistakes, and you know, everybody can attest you learn more from the mistakes if you really go back and dissect, which can be painful. But one of the best investments we made, as you point out, in 2007, Phil Era, James Lee, these are two guys that worked at the company. They saw a business called Living Earth, and it's a mulch business. I don't mean to oversimplify, but it basically sells mulch. And impressive CEO. They had an opportunity that we could fill by providing a little bit of growth capital and some guidance, but that team did a terrific job, and that was an excellent investment for us.
So my guess is, on a regular basis, you and your people are taking a look at various investments out there to put your money in that fit with the portfolio investments you already have.
Well, yeah, so if you look at the real estate group and the investment group, we don't really make investments in companies anymore. What we really do is in the alternative asset group, we really find hedge fund managers of all diversified styles, geographies. But really what we do is we've got a very talented team of people that can look at opportunities and every bit as much look at the people involved. You take a guy like Nick, we'd want to back a guy like Nick. You see the passion that he has. You see the way that he's built a culture in that business. And our business is about trying to identify winners. Right, every bit as much about the company as it is the people. And I think we've got a really talented team internally that's looking at real estate partners. We really don't do any real estate specific asset investing. We look at teams to then go attack niches that we think are interesting. We do that in real estate, and we do that in our with our hedge fund portfolio as well.
It's interesting that Hunt Oil was looking for the land where the oil was. You're looking for the people, the right kind of people to multiply those.
That's right.
The money you have.
That's right.
Well, one area that I mentioned at the opening is something that you and your wife Ashley have a tremendous amount of passion for. Speaking of passion, is executives in action. That started a few years ago because I believe you mentioned at one time you were getting a number of resumes
for
executives who are out of work. Talk a little bit about executives action in action and what that's all about.
Sure. So you highlighted how it started. So when we had the private equity business and we had a lot of companies under management, with the opportunity to look across those and see where opportunities might be, I did get a lot of resumes. And in 2008, especially late 2008, I was not able to really find a home for any of these
talented
people.
And the number of resumes probably increased.
It's growing,
at that point too, yeah.
And so it reminded me of a story about my dad. So here was my dad, a guy that worked his way up from nothing. And you know, the irony is I was in the private equity business. His company got bought by a private equity firm, and then he got displaced. And I saw the anguish and the loss of self-esteem and really how that destroyed him personally. And deep down, here was this mission to be able to say, you know, so I'd love to somehow help somebody else, Ashley and me both, that if they were ever in this same spot, what could we do? And so take these resumes of people we're getting that these people were not going to be able to find jobs right away, not in that market. And Ashley, knowing the needs of some of these nonprofits that we're going to have to be cutting programs or reducing staff at a time when need was increasing, we thought maybe there's something here. And, you know, the very first placement we had was an individual that had a marketing background from JCPenney. They had a big, you know, reduction, you might recall, at that time. And we put him with an agency, and within 3 months, he raised more money than his salary would have been had he been a full-time employee. And again, the nonprofits aren't paying for this expertise. So they went and hired him, and then he went on and continued to raise more money and built a program around this particular activity that this nonprofit did. So that was the first of over 250 projects we've done since 2008.
Well, on your website, which I believe is executivesinaction.org,
yes,
you have a number of success stories on there. And I see this is on two sides. You're helping this executive who has been displaced, and you talk about self-image. And when you lose your job, that affects your self-image tremendously. You're not putting them to work, even though they're not earning an income. Right. But even more importantly, they're doing for that nonprofit something that they couldn't have bought. They're getting expertise,
right,
especially on the financial side. I know you've placed some CFOs. Mm-hmm. They're getting expertise that they wouldn't have had, and you're helping both sides tremendously. And the marriage of that was tremendous. So Ashley was the innovator on the nonprofit. You were more the innovator on the individual, the resume side.
Well, it's for anybody listening, here was the amazing thing to us is you think about all the times in life you've had ideas just kind of flash through your mind. And, you know, I think sadly about the litany of ideas. Who knows if they were any good? Okay, so let's not get into that real quickly. But nonetheless, this list of ideas you probably had that you never took action on. And here was one where, you know, just we're just very thankful that the opportunity existed to be able to try to make it happen. And kind of back to this, the entire interview here is really with Nick and myself. It's about people and putting, you know, building a culture and putting people in a position to win. We might have had the idea, but it took people to execute. You know,
absolutely.
And so, you know, we're just the 500 or so people that have gone through the program. Those people did the work. You know, and the website's just a cool way to memorialize what these great outcomes, this match between the person, these teams. We do more teamwork now than kind of individuals, but the executives that did the work and the nonprofits that really had to partner with these people to get it done. So pretty amazing.
That's almost 100 people a year that you put through this program. From nothing that didn't exist to 500 people have gone through the program, and it's obviously changed lives and changed organizations because of it. That's great.
Well, we certainly hope so. That's right.
And that website, again, for Executives Action is?
Executivesinaction.org.
Fantastic. Chris, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Great to be here. Thanks,
great information. Steve. Chris Kleiner, the CEO and President of Hunt Consolidated Investments and co-president of Hunt Consolidated. Thank you very much for joining us. This has been a terrific show. It's been great having both our guests on the show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com. where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back again next week with more Playmakers. We'll see you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.